Was Friday's disappointing jobs report an anomaly or a trend?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Wall Street will get its first chance to react this morning to Friday's jobs report from the Labor Department. The report said just 120,000 jobs were created last month, far short of the 210,000 economists were expecting. One big question is whether the weak number will convince the Federal Reserve that more stimulus is needed. And we may get some clues about that when Chairman Ben Bernanke speaks in Atlanta this morning. Another question is whether corporate earnings will show the same weakness as the employment report. And tomorrow, we'll get the first read on corporate profits for the latest quarter from the aluminum company Alcoa. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
Compared to a year ago, analysts are estimating corporate profits have held virtually flat. So why was the S&P 500 index up 12% in the first 3 months of the year?
The market obviously was well ahead of itself.
Mike Mullaney at Boston's Fiduciary Trust thinks investors got overly optimistic, even as rising energy prices and economic troubles overseas ate into profits. Christine Short is senior manager at S&P Global Markets Intelligence. She says the double-digit profit growth seen last year was bound to be a tough act to follow.
We were up almost 20%, and that was on top of 56% growth in 2010.
Short hopes the gloomy outlook among analysts might actually create some upside surprises, but portfolio manager Mike Mullaney sees caution signs ahead.
The prospect of positive surprises and positive earnings per share growth in general above expectations is waning at the very minimum.
Analysts say there could be a return to double-digit profit growth by the end of the year if energy prices ease and there's a clear solution to Europe's debt crisis. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
In a moment, we'll get a rare peek at the production line where iPads are made. But first, let's do the numbers. Stocks are down where stocks are trading overseas this morning. Some markets, of course, closed for the holiday. But Tokyo lost 1.5% this morning after Sony announced plans to cut about 6% of its workforce, or 10,000 jobs. The company is struggling in part because of a strong Japanese yen, in part because of natural disasters like the floods in Thailand, and in part because Sony has been losing money selling TVs for the last 7 years. At the end of trading on Wall Street last Thursday, the Dow dropped 14 points to close at 13,060.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a company that offers financial services designed to serve families with special needs at massmutual.com/autism.
Now we're going to go to the place where your iPhone or iPad is made. Foxconn, the Chinese manufacturer that makes 40% of the world's electronics, including many Apple products. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz was recently granted access to an Apple production line at a Foxconn factory. He is only the second journalist ever to do that, and he joins us now. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Jeremy.
So what's it like in there?
Well, I think, you know, I've been to other factories before, and you see usually at factories like a lot of machines and workers here and there. But in this factory, on the iPad assembly line, what first hits you is just the sheer amount of people. I mean, you see line after line of hundreds of workers, and you get this realization that this is a real manual labor process for what is a machine that's very sleek and looks like a machine actually made it. But in fact, every single part of that is being put together by a person.
Now, one of the things that just happened in the last couple of weeks is that Foxconn agreed to reduce the overtime hours for its workers. What are the workers telling you about this?
So last week, Apple and Foxconn gave me this guided tour of Foxconn's largest factory in China in the city of Shenzhen across the border from Hong Kong. But prior to that tour, I spent a couple of days talking to workers outside the gates of that factory. Neither Foxconn nor Apple knew I was doing this. And I asked the workers what less overtime would mean for them. Now, keep in mind that 99% of the workforce at the Shenzhen factory are migrant workers. They came to Shenzhen from hundreds of miles away to work here. And they came here specifically to work a lot of overtime. So many of the responses I got were like this one from a worker named Xu. So he's saying that he'll probably return to his home village soon. He's realized that he can't save enough money living in a developed coastal city like Shenzhen. The cost of living is just too high.
So if migrant workers like this are going to start returning to their home village, what does that mean for the manufacturer like Foxconn?
Well, I asked Foxconn spokesman Louis Wu about this, and one of the things that Foxconn's already doing is that they're replacing workers with machines. For example, on the iPad assembly line I toured, you know, I was just talking about all the people on that line, but part of the line, a very small part that assembles the motherboard to the iPad, was now being done by a 20-foot-long machine. I asked one of the engineers what impact that had on Foxconn's workforce, and he told me that the machine replaced about 1/7, about 28 workers on that particular line. That's 1/7 of the line. And there are other ways that Foxconn is changing. Louis Wu and I talked about how this new generation of workers in China are different from their parents. And here's Louis.
The new generation of workers, they don't like to engage in this line of business as much as before. Right. So in a sense, is that you can argue, you know, China is changing, the worker is changing, and so is Foxconn.
So if the work is changing and Foxconn is changing, does that mean that assembly line work in China is going to be a thing of the past?
I think what it means is less assembly line work in developed parts of China like Shenzhen is going to happen. I mean, instead of workers migrating 1,000 miles to the Chinese coast, now what we may start seeing are companies moving their factories away from the coast to where the workers actually come from. So instead of the workers migrating, it'll be the factories. And Foxconn's already doing this. The company's newest factories are all in inland provinces. And in some ways, this is a win-win. Foxconn saves money on wages because wages in China's interior are lower than on the coast. And the workers can be closer to their families.
Marketplace's China correspondent Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. His series, The People Behind Your iPad, will be airing this week on Marketplace. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And finally, the airlines of the world are coming up with some pretty interesting ways for you to use your frequent flyer miles. Free trips, apparently, are so last year. According to the LA Times, with 21,000 points on the German carrier Lufthansa, you can get 3 pairs of socks delivered to you 3 times a year. And Air Baltic, the Latvian national airline, will give you a dog sled adventure for 13,700 miles. Though, if you're going to bring your own dog sled, you still might have to pay a baggage fee. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
If you haven't done your taxes yet, you're not alone. That sense of dread, especially if you owe money.
The income tax is the worst possible tax from the government point of view. It's the most salient.
I'm Sarah Gardner. The secret world of taxes we're paying every day. No 1040 required. Next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.